M1 is the finance super app that puts you in control of your wealth. Invest, borrow, save, and spend your money how you want with sophisticated automation tools to help you reach your financial goals more easily. 2021 is about rebuilding, building health, building wealth, and everything in between. I've been using M1 for years to manage my long-term investment portfolio. M1 lets me follow some of the top-performing hedge funds like Code2 and balance my pie based on what the pros are doing. It's truly my favorite investing app in the world. Go to m1finance.com/Katoon to get started today and earn $30 to invest after you fund your account. Terms and conditions apply. M1, yours to build. Welcome to TechNoi Podcast. I'm Scott Katoon. On today's show, we catch up with Jason Vandenboom, the CEO and founder of ActiveCampaign. A little breaking news alert. ActiveCampaign today just announced a $240 million Series C led by Tiger Global at more than a $3 billion valuation. If you listened to my first show with Jason a couple of years ago, you knew this was coming. I think I even predicted on that show that this was going to become a massive unicorn. He has subsequently obviously done an A round. Last year, I believe he announced a B round, or it was maybe 20, I can't remember if it was 19 or 20. Regardless, it was a massive round. And now here, right on time, there is a $3 billion valuation on a company based here in Chicago to join up with several other gigantic billion-dollar companies like Cameo that are growing like a weed in Chicago. Love to see it. Jason is an awesome guy. ActiveCampaign is a product that I have used for literally years. They've been a partner and sponsor of TechNoi over the last couple of years. Before that, I was using them as a tool. I have used ActiveCampaign both to sell product as well as to just maintain relationships with my customers and in some cases my fans or people who've gone to my events. The flat flexibility of a product like ActiveCampaign is, I think, what makes them so compelling. I also think it's why they're growing so fast in a world where people sort of disregard data and they just kind of bird dog businesses and business opportunities. They give you the tools and power to be able to hit me on text and email and, you know, remarket and retarget. I think people are getting tired of it. And I think consumers are having this sort of expectation that you need to respect my data a little bit. I still want you to give me an experience that requires my data, but I don't want you to take advantage and abuse it. And I think there's going to be a penalty for those who do. ActiveCampaign is actually a product that not only in my mind sets itself up for the future of mobile shopping, the fact where people are using tools like Cash Drop, which I had Ruben on my show a couple of weeks ago, enabling you to basically prop up a store with a link and a payment platform, the whole nine, right in your Instagram or right through text message, but then giving you a CRM. And I think I talked about this a little bit with Jason on this episode, but I think it's important to note again, you know, email is big as shit right now. Newsletters, Substack, all that stuff. I think it's going to settle out and people are going to get tired of having their inbox blown up. But I think it does show you just how important email is. And in marketing and CRM, contact management as a whole, how important it is. iOS 14 has completely jobbed tons of people who are reliant on Facebook ads, myself included, reliant on Facebook and Instagram and other types. And if anything, what I've learned is you cannot be totally reliant on third-party marketing engines. You need to build your own. You need to have a customized funnel that has people's emails and their information and responsibly build profiles so that you can cater to your people the same way I would in person. This IRL, in real life marketing, is more important now than ever. A lot of people early on in COVID talked about how it's disingenuous and it's Zoom calls and it's all this stuff, which it is. But I do think that, as I've talked about many times, COVID has given us digital transformation unlike any other. It's also opened the doors for companies like ActiveCampaign and others to differentiate. ActiveCampaign allows its 100 plus 150,000 small business customers worldwide, 100 plus countries across the world that have businesses using ActiveCampaign. It helps those businesses round out the experience between IRL and digital. How do I have a nice soft touch with my email drip campaigns, hit you on text when it's right, when you want it? How do I make sure that I know who you are and give you what you need and make sure that you're not blasting people or using your data in the wrong way? It actually creates moat. It creates the opportunity for companies to build relationships that are sticky. and not just slam them with ads and messages and figure volume will win the day. That doesn't happen. So in this conversation with Jason, we obviously talk a lot about his raising the round, which I'm so excited for him and the company and the city of Chicago. But we also talk about the future of marketing and how his tool is set up to win the day, if you will. A little crystal ball action, which you know I love. So this is my interview with Jason Vandeboom, the founder and CEO of ActiveCampaign. You've been on the show a bunch of times. ActiveCampaign is obviously one of my favorite tools. I acquired a piece of a new company called Songfinch. And the very first thing we did was start discussing like CRMs, and ActiveCampaign was the one that I was like, this is the one for us for a multitude of reasons. But it's been a crazy year. So if you want to give people a catch up on ActiveCampaign, what it is and what you guys have been doing, I think everyone would love it.
Sure. Yeah. And it's definitely been a crazy year, but I feel like we've been positioned to be able to help businesses transform and whatnot. And it's really because ActiveCampaign is focused on customer experience automation. So we really help businesses grow. Think about it as almost automated one-to-one communications, but focusing on the entire customer lifecycle. So we're helping businesses. How do you find customers? How do you do all the sales, marketing, post-sales, and whatnot, make that more delightful for people within the business, save them time, but then also take that approach to the consumers, to the prospects as well. So ideally, we're helping both sides of the equation in terms of the customer experience and really trying to get to a point where every customer feels like the most important customer. Like, how do you take, I think we all have those stories or thoughts of, you know, you interact with a small business in person. You get this unique approach, you get this unique personality coming out of the business and you feel closer to it. How do we take that sort of idea, extend that digitally, also allow that to scale? And that's a really exciting thing to go after. And that's what we've been really focused on for some time now.
So, you know, I've been using ActiveCampaign, I think we're going back to 2017 now, something like that. It's 2018. And I'll tell you, I mean, I've used about every one of them and I've been sponsored by half of them. So it's not that I don't love Salesforce. I know you guys have a partnership with them, and it's not that I don't love HubSpot. They have their use case. What I have always struggled with other platforms is they're so built for the business that they sort of forget the value of a customer interaction. It becomes this sort of like, here's a way to bird dog people. Here's a way to store their info and nail them all at the right time. And I think we've gotten to a place now where it's not just about COVID. It's just like consumer savvy. I know when it's automated. I know when you're just trying to like spin me into a sale before the holiday. I know your urgency marketing. What I loved about ActiveCampaign was, and maybe I'm unique in how I went into this, but you know, Technori, when we started using ActiveCampaign, it was for events. I wasn't selling anything. So I used your CRM literally to continue my relationship with the people between events. I wasn't trying to like book them into something. And I think that's a huge, I couldn't find it elsewhere, I guess is the reason that I ended up with you guys.
No, and it's a great point. I think this idea of over automating and trying to like automate every aspect of it and removing like that human touch from an experience causes a business to have far less differentiation. And then they lose a piece of them. So they lose some of the personality, something with that, right? And so, yeah, that's definitely right in line with kind of how we think.
So as I think, you know, when COVID came in, I think there was a lot of uncertainty. I don't think a lot of people knew how long this was going to be. I know as a business owner, and I'm sure it was the same for you, you're sitting there going, do we just make a huge change now and lean into like, this is going to be a while and the future will be different? Or am I going to sit back and just sort of like hope it ends quickly and we go back to business as usual? There's this like fine line where a lot of businesses that I spoke to on this show were trying to decide like, is this an inflection point for digital? Should we invest all of our money into digital tools that are not about enriching data as much as they are about enriching the relationship? And I just love to know, because you guys are you're at the forefront of that. Like, I would love to know how you guys approached COVID. I don't mean from a people and business standpoint, but from like a future proof standpoint, and what you're seeing and like where things are going as far as communicating digitally.
With all like challenges I've ever encountered with ActiveCampaign, the first thing I go to is like, how do we get closer to our customer? because quite frankly, when the pandemic started, I didn't know the best way into support. I didn't know how businesses were going to try to transform and whatnot. So we looked at like, what are some of the things we want to do both programmatically in the product, but also with customer facing teams in like the next 6-12 months, looked at that list and then thought like, okay, what can we implement in like a week or two? like, you know, try to drive as much change as possible to get close to the customer and be that partner to gain that understanding and to not pretend like we can just guess, right? And so by doing that, we're able to see like how our business is trying to transform. And we've always been set up in a way where we're giving people suggestions. We surface up recipes, we surface up ideas you can do as a business. So then we accelerated the number of recipes we're working on, different apps we're integrating with and whatnot, all leading to a place to allow people to transform more easily. Because where we're situated in the customer experience, it's really all about bringing data together, automation, and then you have tooling like the CRM and other pieces like that. But a lot of the tools a business could use or want to use, they can change in and out as their needs change. Perfect for like transformations or times of great challenge. So that's kind of the approach we took and like the resiliency of so many businesses of being able to transform has quite frankly been one of the most like exciting things to see in an otherwise just like, you know, it's been a tragedy of a year in so many other respects.
You're totally on that. And it's kind of funny. We talked about this. I don't know if it was the last time you were on or even maybe the first time. You know, your business, ActiveCampaign, is serving, I don't even know what the number is now. It was hundreds of thousands of businesses globally when we last talked. It's probably more than that now.
Yeah. So I think a year ago, we're at like 90,000. We're over 145,000 businesses today, basically every single vertical and in 170 countries. We're really thinking like a customer experience is more similar than not, regardless of the type of business or what like you actually do. By using that data and giving suggestions, we can help a business craft one. But something you said earlier about like this push to digital, right? And like, how do we move everything digital? The thing people are not talking as much about is like in the future, as things like continue to like hopefully improve and stuff continues to open up, like you can't have an in-person experience and a digital experience. Like a consumer thinks of it as a singular thing, but how businesses are setting things up, it's almost like they're two separate experiences, right? So what I'm really focused on is like, how do we bridge those together and sort of orchestrate across the two? So it feels like a singular experience, no matter whether you stop into a physical location or an event, like to your example, or it's more digitally and all online.
So what I was going to add to that, I'm glad that you said that because it tees up exactly what I was going to say is in the first conversation, I remember asking you specifically the differences between the use case, like who's the business that uses Salesforce, who's the business that uses you. And obviously I explained kind of the business that I'm in or was in at the time and how we used it. What I thought was unique was if you look up Hub or, and there's a bunch of new ones actually that have entered the market that do some pretty cool stuff. They're all growth hack. Like as far as the help, if you go to the FAQ, it's like, here's all these growth hack tips on our blog. And if you go to yours, it's like, here's how you optimize the tools that we have in front of you to create this experience. And I think that it speaks not just to like how you guys market yourselves and how you position, but to the companies that you serve themselves. Like it's not about trying to get a 200,000 employee organization. It's about getting basically a 10 to 100, 200, 300 person organization operating like a 100,000 person operation in the sense that they have all the power. But the way that they communicate with their customers is so vastly uniquely different.
Yeah.
You're the perfect, I think, at least from my experience, the perfect sort of middle ground between high-tech automation, sequences and email, drip campaign and so forth, and like soft touch.
No, and that's a great point. And so we actually guide customers to like not try to like match what you see like with a big box retailer or something like that. Because you remove all your personnel, you remove all your differentiation, exactly like you're saying. Now the interesting thing is like, if you look at like in mid-market and whatnot, they're looking to try to be more like a small business than like who they are, right? Yeah. They wanna have that like loyalty, that advocacy feel to it. But like what we've seen in the last year or so is more and more people buying direct from smaller businesses that have something that they can like relate to or see that personality. Oftentimes that can come through with even just like non-polished communications in a way, like don't overthink it and actually allow just it to be just like what's going on. As businesses transform, the most successful ones we saw were the ones that were just like fairly transparent, like here's kind of what's going on. There's some like difficult times. It wasn't this like well-tailored message of like, you know, during these uncertain times, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was like it,
COVID could, letter from the CEO.
Exactly. But you could feel like some of the like, you know, what they're going through and whatnot through the communication. And such a powerful thing to tap into and share with your customers.
It totally is. And not to turn this segment into like the crystal ball, but there is a little bit, I think, of, you know, like I said before, you're on the front lines of communication for business. And I kind of see this, I saw the pivot happening a little before COVID. Now I feel like this is like parting of the sea and you can see it. The customer expects this like giganto, huge Microsoft-y organization experience where it's like everything happens exactly as you'd predict it would happen. Here comes my phone call after I just clicked on the site, you know, coming in from some random 1-800. If I buy products that are set it and forget it, stuff that I have absolutely no anticipation of needing support, I actually like these huge orgs and like how they just sort of like, here's the details, here's your renewal, here's my upsell. When it comes to anything that you touch on a weekly, monthly basis, meaning either you need support, you use the product frequently, the product has iterations frequently, we have moved to the exact opposite spectrum as the big org. It is now an understanding that I almost feel like I can communicate with you and with Shay and with everyone on your team, because I feel like we're in the same game together. And that's the thing that I think you guys have really done well. And like, that's the part to me that is the most future consumer interesting.
Yeah. And then like, how do you take that? How do you retain that versus, I think a lot of businesses, as they start to scale, try to like squash that and almost remove it. Right. And that's like the opposite of where things are probably going, which I agree with.
Totally. So there's obviously a huge opportunity. As I just mentioned, you've got, you know, the COVID digital, you know, digital reaction to COVID, and everything is D2C. And I think you're seeing companies that previously were like reliant on Amazon who are now using Chicago-based companies like Cash Drop, and you're seeing Shopify and all these different tools selling direct via Instagram. Many of them are going to need a CRM. Your price point is fantastic. So I think it's going to win on that front, but you guys are going to start growing like crazy. You've been growing like crazy for the last, I don't know, 5 years now in particular. You've got an announcement. Something big is happening here at ActiveCampaign, and I'm excited to hear about it.
Sure. Yeah. And to your point, like, I think the most exciting thing is like the opportunity out there. There's, you know, we're seeing record new business creation in recent quarters. And it's for like that reason of like the buying direct and whatnot. And it's going to be truly exciting to see where all of these businesses go. As far as ActiveCampaign, we've been experiencing kind of continued momentum and acceleration for a couple years now.
I think they call it meteoric growth is what they, it's not sustained momentum when you guys are like, every time I talk to you, your graph is out of my screen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, we're following our customers for the most part, which is probably the exciting piece. But yeah, no, we're excited to announce our Series C. So we raised $240 million and have a couple new partners coming in, Target Global and Dragoneer. We just see the opportunity ahead of us as just being so massive, so large. We have a lot to do, but we're excited. The fact that we've taken an approach of like not going after any single vertical or any single geo means that, you know, our over 145,000 customers are in pretty much every vertical. We have coverage with no material concentration in 170 countries. As you think about how do we become even a better partner to these businesses, to new businesses that are being created, that's personalizing our own experience. Building upon the recipes, suggestions, so that both programmatically and with our customer-facing teams, we're there as a partner. We're not just like feature tool tech that nobody knows how to use or needs a bunch of consultants to implement. So there's a lot to go after there, but it's an exciting time for us.
I want to talk about some of those tools and stuff in a second. I'm curious, was Tiger part of your last round, the B round?
No. So Susquehanna Growth Equity led the B with our Series A investor, Silversmith. Yep. Both existing investors, we only have the two, joined in our Series C as well.
Because, I mean, Tiger's been on a tear. I mean, obviously a fantastic group over there. They've investing in a bunch of stuff that is making news everywhere. And I think, like, not to make us a Chicago thing, because the show, obviously, I've tried to evolve to where Chicago is part of the community, not just always talking about Chicago. But Chicago, I think for the most part, you see Cameo, which is sort of, they're not necessarily headquartered in Chicago at this current time, but they came from Chicago. And yep. They've had, you know, Tiger and others in there. We're starting to see, I guess what I'm trying to say is we're starting to see larger funds, you know, SoftBank, Tiger, even Andreessen and several others actually getting in on rounds in Chicago companies. And I'm just curious, like, how you made the connection. Is it through the B round folks? Like, how did, for those who are in your position in Chicago, how do we start getting after some of these larger funds? Because I think I'm not projecting that you guys are going to sell or to go to IPO or whatever, but when you start getting those types in, all of those realities start to become real.
Yeah. And I always thought of it as less of like trying to get the investor to, you know, like be engaged or something, but just like build amazing businesses. And I'd say like the thing I'm excited about in terms of Chicago is just like, there's a lot of amazing businesses coming up right now. I think it's a really exciting time.
Four Cut just sold. Another huge one.
Yeah. And so like, it's, so I think some of that draw that's coming in is just like, it's just a realization of the amazing talent and businesses that are being created. And there's just a lot of momentum going on. In the case of Tiger Global and ActiveCampaign, they've been watching ActiveCampaign for a bit. And so like a little background from that. We had interest from a number of folks and talked to a handful of them to pick up who we thought was the right partner, and really resulted with Tiger Global leading it and then Dragonair joining as well.
It's amazing. It's a great story. And I love to see it, obviously, because I like you a lot in the company in Chicago. But I do think that we've taken a slower approach to growing, and you could argue on some regards. I know you did, obviously, but yeah. Chicago, people want to listen to the story of ActiveCampaign's 13-year overnight success story. You can go and listen to the original Jason Vandenboom episode. Chicago has gotten some shit, I think, for being a little slower in how we gas companies and grow them. And I think in some regards, it actually has helped us spot, identify, support, and rally behind the right ones and make fewer mistakes. It also hurts us because we lose out on rocket ships sometimes.
Yeah, but I think from a net basis, like there's good with that too, of moving a little bit more calculated, a little bit more slowly. And maybe that's why like we're getting this realization of just like a lot of good momentum in the area now.
So I think we just need better, I mean, no pun intended. I think we need better marketing. I feel like we let this like, oh, you guys are risk averse. It's like, if I hear one more person say that, even though I'm usually the one who says it, I wish we could talk a little differently. I guess the word I would use is intent. We have a different intent. I think when I talk to a lot of our founders, they're more intentional in building a strong fundamental business. And then it's like, we'll get to the exit stuff later.
And something like that, it almost has like a trailing impact on like the marketing of the ecosystem, right? But one that probably over time becomes more powerful than the just like go at all costs and just see who the couple winners are while there's just scattered like chaos everywhere else.
You could argue the Chris Gladwin effect in Chicago versus say, you know, any of the PayPal mafias out in the coast. The power five or six people at PayPal all have launched billion-dollar businesses. Awesome. A ton of people who worked underneath them have raised a shit ton of money and not necessarily had any success, you know, IPO or return on investors versus Chicago, where we're going to have, you know, how many people are going to have left Groupon, Grubhub, you know, even Spot Hero, Cameo. I'm missing 50 companies, yours and many others that will have, you know, I think of Justin Howard from Sprout Social, like the number that his CTO is amazing. The number of people that have learned underneath them are going to build fundamentally strong businesses that will likely have a better return to investors than someone who's like, well, I'm a wonder kid. Give me all your money.
Yeah. 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 No, definitely agree with that.
All right. I'm going to let you go shortly here. I just want one more thing. Sure. When I think about your product and I think about the future of where consumer behavior is going. This is like partially about the audience and partially me selfishly asking you questions. You're obviously seeing a huge trend on mobile. People who are, there's a little bit of reverb of tech and using text and SMS. And you're definitely seeing, like I mentioned before, cash drop apps that allow you to shop directly via your phone through Instagram and through, you know, even Messenger, just shop and buy. The CRMs that are provided currently for most of them are janky, to say the least. Most of them are really invasive. They treat data really loosely and like in a way that's kind of inappropriate, that I'm getting text messages from people who I did not accept. You guys have an opportunity, I think, because of the flexibility of your app and your tools, to be a gigantic force in this spot. The cost of your tools versus others, the flexibility, the mobile app, the tools already built, the sequences in email can be adapted to text. There's a lot of things you can do. I would just love to know your thought process. You don't have to give away any trade secrets, just like your thought process around how does ActiveCampaign embrace mobile shopping, mobile business in general?
Yeah, no, I think you put it really well in the way of one, businesses have to, right? And yeah. So we're helping with that. But at the same time, like it has to be with a, you could describe it as privacy, or you could describe it as an experience someone expects, wants, and desires, yeah. Right?
Correct.
And your example in terms of SMS is all too like common of like, just keep pushing messages. Like that's the easiest way to piss off a consumer.
I just got one now. I shit nice. You not. I just got one now.
But like that makes you feel super happy, right? You're going to definitely take up that offer. So like it's thinking it like, so what we're really focused on is not so much about, you know, tons of message. It's more about like, what is the right time? What is the right content? Should it even be automated or should it be a human? As well as like thinking about the channels differently as well. Like SMS is very close to someone, like to be able to broadcast there a lot. You have to be very, very careful. And that kind of goes back to like, if we just gave everyone the capabilities, so we have SMS and automations, we got into like Facebook Messenger within the last year and so, and whatnot. If we gave it with no guidance, that could result in situations that actually are not positive for a business that's new or starting to use things. Instead, like that's the importance of being that partner through our customer facing teams, but also our recipes to give people ideas of like, here's a sequence of things like you could do with SMS and what we suggest and they craft off of that. And so I think the reason I bring that up is it's like the tech is important. You need the capability. And so we built out things like that. But if you only build that out, without the guidance and without the support of being a partner, you actually could actually set up someone for like a much worse scenario than if they were not using the tech at all. Yeah. And I think that's something I'd love to see more and more within B2B SaaS, but especially within MarTech. Because that leads to, that can help guide people into customer experiences that are actually, something people like.
I totally agree with you. I will leave this for the listener just because it's pertinent, timely. Recently reading an article about the resurgence of newsletter and email, whatever, and you could talk about like how people are loading your inbox and it's obnoxious. I use Hey Mail from Jason Fried and those folks. Love it. But one of the things that we've learned is like with iOS 14 and what it means for Facebook and others, we are entering this like a little bit more data secure, which is a good thing, space, which puts way more pressure on technology tools like ActiveCampaign and smart use of email and smart use of text and smart use of data, instead of irresponsible, just like volume, smash them in the face and we'll sell stuff. And I guess it's why you guys raise a bunch of money, but I think that people are going to need to really start being pickier about who they choose as partners. And I think you guys make a good opportunity for that, but I think it's a huge opportunity for you as well, obviously.
Yeah. And I think it's both like, how do you responsibly work with your customers in a way that they would expect and want? And then also like having an understanding of your customers and your data. All too often it's in like, you know, separate systems, like we were talking earlier of like, there's like more in-person stuff and then there's more digital stuff. Like that's not going to work with where the future is going. Like you have to be able to actually understand what is the sequence of events or cadence of things you should be doing with a customer.
Well, I have to tell you, I am there are very few companies that I'm incredibly sad that I'm not on the cap table of, and yours is definitely one of them, but I wouldn't have given to have an opportunity early on with you guys. Holy shit. Congratulations on the success. Congratulations on this round. I cannot wait to see where this takes ActiveCampaign. We've been a very proud partner, and I've never been more proud of companies that we've worked with and founders like you, Jason. So I just want to let you know that everyone here appreciates you.
That's awesome. I really appreciate all the support. And once again, appreciate the time. Was a lot of fun to chat. So thank you.
Of course. As always, everyone, go to activecampaign.com. Check them out. Thank you very much. If you're interested in self-directed investing from startups to crypto and public markets, my Substack is a great way to learn how professional investors screen, review, and pull the trigger on deals. Join the largest community of micro investors and startup founders on Substack by going to katoon.com.